Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Put open our Bibles this evening to 1 Peter. Excuse me, 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and reading verse 1 and 2. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their consciences seared with a hot iron. And then 2 Timothy, chapter 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Without natural affection, they'll become truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means they can't abstain themselves, fierce, and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of God more than lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of God-likeness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, that's churches, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we turn to chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, the day that we're in. It's a Laodicean condition where the people are increased with goods and yet don't realize that they're blind, miserable, naked, and because they're just spiritually blind, and Father, they're actually spiritually dead. And so we recognize then, Father, from your scripture that this is the hour that people will turn away from thee faith. They also will be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be truce breakers, incontinent. They just can't refrain from not only sexual endeavors, but from just buying, this, that, and the other. Just they can't refrain themselves, Father. Lord, it's such a mess that the people are in. And Father, we recognize that the world is completely insane, and our Congress and our president are totally insane, because we recognize that the evidence of insanity is when people do things over and over and over again, hoping they'll get a different result. And so we find that they got themselves into this deep mess by overspending, spending what money they didn't have, and they think they'll get out of debt by spending more. And so, Lord, we recognize that your prophet told us that the entire world would be insane except for your bride, because she would have the mind of Christ. Help us, Father, then to focus upon thy word and thy thoughts, O God, for thy thoughts are not our thoughts, but your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And yet we understand, Lord, that we are to have the mind of Christ, and this is the hour for it. And so we ask, Father, you'd help us, Lord, to get our own thinking aside and just hold on to thus saith the Lord, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from Brother Branham's sermon called Jezebel Religion, which he preached in Middletown, Ohio, Brother Branham warned the people what would happen if they turned down the message. He said, when God sends forth a message and tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servants and sends his plagues, famine, death spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival? You wait till after a bit. You just wait and long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be a famine in the last days, said the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hid away. Now this evening I would like to show you how that communism is part of the curse that has come upon this country for turning down the voice of God to this generation. And actually I've subtitled this message, Communism, Catholicism, and the Downfall of America, or the Decline of the American Empire. Now, we know according to Scripture that America and the rest of the nations are sinking financially because they have not hearkened to the voice of the Lord our God in this hour. In Deuteronomy 28, we see how that blessings from God turn to curses upon any nation or people who do not hearken to the voice of the Lord God. Now, the word hearken means to pay close attention, and it's very apparent by the legislation taking place in this country that they have turned their hearts away from God and from His voice to this generation. Now, this is important to know because the curse could be reversed if the people could only turn from their wicked way and hearken or pay attention to the message of the hour, which is the voice of God to this generation. For the Lord Himself has descended with a shout, which Brother Branham taught us was the message. Now, from his sermon, The Former and Latter Rain, Brother Branham said, the enemy watches for nighttime to come. He likes to come in the night. The great raids in our armies today is at nighttime. And that's what you talk about communism. Communism's laying for one thing. In other words, it's just laying in wait. We hear so much about it today, communism's wanting one thing. The nation's honeycombed with it, but it's waiting for what little spiritual that we have got to die out till it gets darkness in the church. So notice then, when the church is dark and death is set in, spiritual death has set into the church, that's when communism will take over. That's the only way that it can strike. Let the Americans who claim to be Christians rise to their feet in the name of the Lord, call out, and communism would have no place. But see, they've all compromised. But we weave right into it, and our churches is even full of it, sure, everywhere. The whole thing's polluted. The whole body's polluted. There's only one sound thing and only one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. On Jesus Christ is the only rock of salvation that I know of. The only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. He is the one. So we see that there is a way out for America, but will America take that way out of this crisis? Will she do it? Absolutely she won't. Why? Because she thinks that she's rich and increased with goods and doesn't even know that she is poor, wretched, miserable, and naked, and she doesn't even know it. The problem we have in Congress, in the Senate and in Congress, is that we have so many millionaires in there that they don't care if the nation goes busted. They don't care about the poor people. They don't care about the middle class. They've already got theirs, and they've been doling it out to each other, padding their purses, so to speak, paying off the guys that put them into office, probably getting kickbacks on the side. I wouldn't doubt it. The White Throne will know. So how can she repent when she doesn't even think that she has anything to repent of? But she does. And her condition shows it too. But she can't see it. So she does nothing but the same things over and over and over again. And you know, as I mentioned in our prayer this evening, that's a sign of insanity when you do the same thing over and over again, thinking it will change somehow, if you do. She got herself into trouble spending money she doesn't have, and now she thinks she'll get herself out of trouble by spending even more money that she doesn't have. She got herself in trouble by spending billions. Now she thinks she can get out of trouble by spending trillions. Trillions. More money has been put forth in the year 2009 by Congress, $2 trillion, than in any nation, in the history of any nation since the world began. In fact, probably more than all of them put together since the world began. She's incredibly stupid, dumbed down. But we're forewarned that at the end time, the only people with a sane mind are those that have the mind of Christ. And we are there. And the only way of escape is through Jesus Christ. That's it. So come into Christ while you still have time. And repent of all your wicked ways and acknowledge that without Christ, we're just a lost people. Period. In a sermon, Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Ramson, now we're, we're coming down to the last plague. The last thing God said, I'm tired of fooling now. I'm going to give the last plague. Now, I want you to notice the last plague was death. Now, we've had earthquakes. We've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had tidal waves, as Jesus said that would be, a sea of roaring, men's hearts failing for fear. More heart trouble, number one disease, fear, perplex of times, distress between nations. Well, if there's ever been tidal waves, it's been the last few years. I mean, tsunamis just tearing out total populations. If there's ever been distress between nations, we see it today. Horses, carriages in the broadways, all these things fulfilled. But the last plague is death. Not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, death. Spiritually in the church. You notice it wasn't amongst the sons, spiritual death. You notice it was amongst the sons, okay? Spiritual death. The church has got more members than it ever had, thriving better than it ever did, and yet the weakest in spirit that it ever was. That's true. That's just like it was in Egypt. And from Israel at Kadesh Barnea, Brother Branham said, notice then, God, after fixing Moses, getting him ready, sent out the signs. Then the last sign we taken last night was death. And we found out that spiritual death in the church, the last plague now, church is drying up, blowing away, that's right. We're living in a horrible time. How that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out. They're dying out. Letting the blood get off the front of the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now, it's very apparent that this seventh plague is spiritual death. And as we see from what Brother Branham is saying here about communism, is that it's already here. The spiritual death is already here. And that this nation, back then, was already honeycombed by it, but it was just waiting on the spiritual death of this nation before it could be set in motion. And you know, when the people would vote for a man who would kill a child after it was born, and that was his vote in Chicago or in the Illinois Assembly, a man that is that so low down. And you look at the church that he went to, a homosexual pastor, homosexual rampant, a homosexual agenda, and the nation voted for him, and the nation claims to be Christian. This is no longer a Christian nation. It's a heathen nation. And Brother Ramson, communism's laying for one thing. We hear so much about it today, communism wanting one thing. The nation's honeycombed with it. But it's waiting for what little spiritual that we have got to die out till it gets darkness in the church. That's the only way that it can strike. This day, the scripture is fulfilled. We're there. Brother Branham predicted in 1956 that America would reject Christ, and all the statistics from that day forward show that this nation has gone further and further away from Christ. In 1963, June 17th, well, in April of 1963, God Himself came down, opened the seals. What did it do for America? She turned her back on it. 3 months later, June 17, 1963, the U.S. Supreme Court concluded that any Bible reciting or prayer in public schools was deemed unconstitutional. 3 months later, from the Wikipedia, 1973, it's interesting, it goes in 10-year cycles, decades. Roe versus Wade took place in the United States. In the Supreme Court case, they ruled laws against abortion in the United States violated constitutional right to privacy under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. The decision overturned all state and federal laws outlawing or restricting abortion that were inconsistent with its holdings. Roe versus Wade is one of the most controversial and politically significant cases in U.S. Supreme Court history. Its lesser-known companion case, Doe versus Bolton, was decided at the same time. Roe versus Wade centrally held that a mother may abort her pregnancy for any reason up until the point at which the fetus becomes viable. The court defined viable as being potentially able to live outside the mother's womb, albeit with artificial aid. Viability is usually placed at about 7 months, 28 weeks, but may occur earlier, even at 24 weeks. The court also held that abortion after viability must be available when needed to protect a woman's health, which the court defined broadly in the companion case of Doe versus Bolton. These rulings affected laws in 46 states. Thus, the Supreme Court usurped the authority of the courts of the states and made it a federal crime to try to save a baby's life. You talk about backwash. Now, I'd like to read you from an article that from the Congressional Record, Appendix PP A34-A35, presented January 10th of 1963. It's called Current Communist Goals. Extension of remarks of the Honorable A.S. Erlong, Jr. of Florida, in the House of Representatives, Thursday, January 10th, 1963. Mr. Erlong speaking. He says, Mr. Speaker, Mrs. Patricia Nordman of DeLand, Florida, is an ardent and articulate opponent of communism. Until recently published the DeLand Courier, which she dedicated to the purpose of alerting the public to the dangers of communism in America. At Mrs. Nordman's request, I included in the record, under unanimous consent, the following current communist goals, which she identifies as an excerpt from The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. Okay, this is taken from The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. Current communist goals, number one, the U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Coexistence, that's exactly Obama's platform. Coexistence, try to negotiate. Two, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. What is Obama doing? He's taking out the missiles out of Poland. Remember the missile pact that they agreed to have the missiles there? He already, by executive order, has decided to take those out. Take out any deterrent. Well, that's their second goal. Three, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be demonstration of moral strength. We're the superior, moral superior, so we're not going to have any deterrent to nuclear war because we're good people. What are you doing? Let's put away our weapons, everybody. Let's not have any weapons because, after all, we're just a good people. Makes sense if you're communist and you want to take over a country. Permit free trade between all nations regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Didn't Mr. Clinton sell technology to the Chinese so that they could send missiles our way? And that same technology has gone to now to Iran. So four out of four of their goals are met. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. That's already been done. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. It's already been done. In fact, the last one, which is Cuba, this president will undo that. He's also good friends with Chavez in Venezuela. Grant recognition of Red China. Didn't that happen under Bush? Admission of Red China to the United Nations. Didn't that happen? Set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. Prolong the conference to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. They're doing it every day. Allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the United Nations. Aren't they there? Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Now, some communist leaders believe that the world can be taken over as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. Well, There was just a proposal the other day by the Prime Minister of England that the United States and England work together to get the other countries in the world together and create the, what was Roosevelt's thing called, the New Deal, a world New Deal. Well, what does that mean? It means a one world currency, a one world economy. Therefore, you have to have a one world government. You see, it's already in the works. It's already in the works. I just read the other day that China and Russia are looking at perhaps joining together and having the same currency, same government. Same currency. I mean, not government, but same currency. They've already got the euro. We know that the Amero has already been coined. And we know that there's going to be an Asian Union. Russia being that. 12. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Well, half of our Hollywood people in Hollywood are communists, at least in their philosophy, and most of the teachers, professors at the university level are. Do away with all loyalty oaths. What's the first thing they have to do when they swear, you know, they're sworn into Congress? They have to make an oath to the Constitution. They want to get rid of that. Why do they do that? Well, let's make the Constitution just, it's just a history. It's just an old thing, you know. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. patent offices. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. They've done it. The Democratic Party is completely communist at this point. Their whole agenda is liberal communism. Number 16, use technical decisions of the court to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. I mean, when you can't even interrogate, you know, the enemy, combatants, without giving them civil rights. Since when is a man that's a murderer should have civil rights? He should have no rights. Isn't a felon in the American judicial system, doesn't he have many of his rights taken away from him? Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken America, basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. They've weakened the army. 17, get control of the schools. Oh yeah. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. The party line. I'm going to show you where some of the party line is written right into the teachers' associations. Gain control of all student newspapers. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. That was happening in the 70s. I remember those riots on campus. Students protesting the government. Infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. 21. Gain control of positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Well, the motion pictures and TV are laced with socialist agenda. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculptures from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. In other words, get the people's minds just mush, where there's nothing of substance. 23, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. And yet, they want to censor when people want to put the Ten Commandments out or have them in courthouses and etc. It's duplicity. They've got two sets of rules, one for them, one for us. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. It's done. Check, check, check. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Check. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. In other words, throw doctrine out in favor of just preaching about family values and, you know, social things. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. January of 63, this was read to Congress, and the Supreme Court in June of 63 made it against the law to have prayer or read the Bible in schools. Number 29. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. It's exactly, they're saying, well, you know, it's a living document. It means that we can change it and do this and render it. Discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Who has no concern for the common man? I think our president has no concern for the common man. In California, he talked about the people in Pennsylvania. He said they're clinging to their guns and their Bibles, as if there's something wrong with that. Number 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. Well, they've done, what they've done is they haven't done communist history, but they've done Afro history. And they replaced American history with African-centric history. They know more about what Africans have done than they know about what Americans have done. 31. Belittle all forms of, 32. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. Support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs. They're all run by the liberal left. How many saw where the Republicans were not even allowed to have a say on the passing of that bill? They shut them right up. And the Republicans were yelling, shame, shame, shame. That's the only say that they could get out. They gave them no vote. They shut them right down. Number 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. That's being done daily. 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. It's already been done. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. You know, they're trying to pass a law that in the unions, the men could not have private votes. 35, they want to embarrass you in front of all the other guys, so you can't vote against it. Number 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. Gain control. Isn't that what they're doing? How many banks are now nationalized? How many other big business, like insurance, is nationalized? Next thing you're going for is health care. Transfer some of the power. How much are they making as a doctor in Poland, the socialist?
Everyone
gets the same pay.
Cleaning lady, whoever.
Yeah, the cleaning lady gets the same pay. $400 a month or whatever. Cheap. I don't think the nurses will do what they've got to do if they're going to make what the person pushing them out does. 30, and why go to all that schooling? So you can push them out, make the same amount of money. Transfer some of the power of arrest from the police to social agencies. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. In other words, when a man is getting ready to throw a brick at you, you can't shoot him. He needs your help. He needs your love. And when he wants to knife you, well, you know, he had a mother who might have said something wrong to him. See, he's got a psychological problem. 39, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communistic goals. What do you think they're doing with Ritalin? Dumbing down the kids, drugging them. That's your psychologists and your teachers. They're all liberal. Show me one conservative psychologist that you know. Show me one. You say Dr. Dobson. Well, that might be one. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Yeah, what do they teach in school? How to get away with having illicit sex. They don't teach you the repercussions. When I was in school, our sex education wasn't showing us how to put condoms on a cucumber, which is filthy. The sex education we had back then was showing what a person that had herpes looked like, and their lips are all full of chancres. And they got the ugliest pictures they could show you of STDs. So you didn't go out and experiment. 41. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. It takes a village, doesn't it? Communist to the core. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influences of parents. Blame it on the parents. 42. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of American tradition. That students and special interest groups should rise up and use a united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. Yeah, unless they rise up against them. Unless they speak out against them. Like they're trying to do with Rush Limbaugh right now. They're attacking him because Bush is out of the way. Well, Bush wasn't conservative to begin with. But he was in power. So they attacked him. Now he's gone. They don't have a conservative voice except for Rush Limbaugh, a few of the others. They're being attacked daily. 42, create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate. 43, overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. This, look, when you have supposedly two groups in Congress, Republicans and Democrats. And when the Democrats don't even give voice to the Republicans and won't give them an ear, and yet Obama, in all his campaign pledges, said, well, I'm the nice guy, and I like to listen to everybody. Do you? You will answer at the White Throne, Mr. President. 44, internationalize the Panama Canal. It's already been done. It's already international. 45, repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the World Court from seizing jurisdiction over domestic problems. Give the World Court jurisdiction over nations and individuals alike. They're working on that right now. I believe that's in Belgium or in Netherlands. Now, from Christ revealing his own word, Brother Branham said, notice now, we come back. We've got to have something or another that we have to hold on to. Something has to be a tie post. In other words, it's an ultimate. And everyone must have an ultimate or an absolute. I preached on it one time years ago on an absolute, a place, that's the last word. Like the umpire at a ball game. If he says it's a strike, that's just exactly what it is. No matter how you've seen it, the umpire said it's a strike. You said, well, it wasn't a strike. And it doesn't matter what you say. When he said a strike, that's it. It's settled. That's just what it is. He's the ultimate. And the traffic light is the ultimate. If it says go, you say, well, I'm in a hurry. I got to, no, it says you stand still while the other fellow goes. See, it's the ultimate. Now, there's got to be an ultimate to everything that you do. There had to be an ultimate when you chose your wife. There had to be a woman that you had to select. Now, there has to be a time when you go buy a car, what kind of an ultimate you're going to make. Will it be Ford, Chevy, Plymouth, foreign cars? Whatever it is, you've got to have an ultimate. And so is it with Christian living. There's got to be an ultimate. You see, the Constitution of the United States used to be the ultimate for this nation. But we've got about 60% of the people that want to throw it out. And so they vote in just a complete fraud. Not even an American citizen. Born in Kenya. Now we find that Brother Branham is telling, and look, according to the Constitution, he has to be natural born. Here, citizen, he's not. So they're throwing out the Constitution. Now we find that Brother Branham is telling us here that it's vital that we have an absolute. I believe that the lack of an absolute is why there's so much chaos in the country today. Because it's exactly what happens when you don't have an absolute. Chaos results. The legislative branch of our government was formed to make the laws, and the judicial branch was created to police those laws and the administrative and administrate those laws. But what has happened is that everybody wants to play lawmaker, and in the judicial branch, we have seen the courts and other judicial branches of government, they've decided that they can make up their own set of rules, and they break the existing rules as they please. The BATF, the FBI, the CIA, and other law enforcement agencies, including the IRS, have run amok with making up their own laws or changing existing laws without proper legislative accord, which must come from those who are elected to represent the people. And we've seen the judicial courts, the Supreme Court, come to the place where they've decided that they are the interpreter of these laws, and by doing so that they have changed the meaning of the laws. Instead of the rights to life, they have ascended to the rights to murder innocent unborn children. And since we look at this subject of an absolute in terms of what has happened to this country as a result of not having an absolute, I would now like to continue with this thought. And since we have taken our time to this point, I'd like to look at education in this country and how it has become absolutely a sinkhole of depravity. I think it would be a good idea to expand on this thought. And I'd just like to read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4 to 9. I'm going to read it from the NIV. We can also look at it from the King James Version. The NIV says, verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. The Amplified Version says in verse 7, and these words which I command you this day shall be first in your mind, then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so we see that to do so, they were to place scriptures and pictures and all sorts of things that the children will actually see with their eyes, and when they see with their eyes, it will have an influence in their minds and in their heart. When you walk into a courthouse and you have the Ten Commandments posted up there, people say, look, there's a higher judge. You throw out any reference to the higher judge, they say, well, if I can just slip this judge here a few hundred bucks, because that's what it goes on all over Europe, all over South America. Whichever lawyer can bring in the most money into the coffers of the judge, that's the way the verdict's going to go. I'd like to tell you a true story about a little girl who was taught from her parents. She was taught the way to go, and the Bible says, train up your child in the way they go, and when they get old, they won't depart. Well, she was on her way home from school one day when she was approached by a man. I want you to notice how she was able to come out victorious in this situation because her parents taught her right. And I hope you'll see by the story just how you should and why you need to give your children the proper training at home. A little girl being asked by a priest to attend his religious instruction, she refused, saying it was against her father's wishes. The priest said that she should obey him, not her father. Oh, sir, we are taught in the Bible to honor our father and our mother. You have no business to read the Bible, said the priest. But, sir, our Savior said, search the Scriptures. John 5:39. That was only to the Jews and not to the children, and you don't understand it, said the priest in reply. But Sir Paul said to Timothy, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15. Oh, said the priest, Timothy was being trained to be a bishop and taught by the authorities of the church. Oh, no, sir, said the child, he was taught by his mother and grandmother. On this, the priest turned away, saying she knew enough Bible to poison an entire parish. Do your children know enough Bible to poison an entire parish? Do your children know enough Bible to stand against the ways of Satan? In Exodus 20, verse 3, it tells us, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods. So what does it mean, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods? What does it mean to have no other? What is God trying to get across to the people by saying no other? He's letting us know that He is it, period. He stands alone and there is none that can compare. There is none worthy of worship. For the word God means an object of worship. And He's telling us there can be no other. In other words, He is the ultimate. He's our absolute. And there can be no other absolute. And yet we find, according to John 1:1, it tells us that God is the Word. And we know the Scripture teaches us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the Word of God then is God to us. That's your absolute, right here, this Bible. The Word of God declares who He is, and therefore we understand who He is. And then we understand who we are. And so we find that when God's Word is our God, and no other God, and no other word shall be received as true worship. Jesus said himself, God is spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. And so without truth you cannot worship God. So what is truth? John 17:17, Jesus was praying to God, his Father, and says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. His word then is our absolute, it's our ultimate. And this is what we shall be, this is what we need to have as our absolute. Brother wrote to me from Africa the other day. He said, you know, I've got 10 children and I need funds for education and everything else. I said, educate them at home with your Bible. I said, Abraham Lincoln had 2 books. He was self-educated. He was homeschooled. He had his Bible and he had the biography of George Washington. That's all he had. And he turned out to be one of the greatest characters, men of character, that this nation ever had. Our educational system in this country has run aground because we are solely out of seen in our approach as a nation. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean is that we are rich and increased with goods. We think that money is the answer to all of our problems. They can't teach the children. The children won't learn because they're teaching them rubbish, trying to transform their minds away from their parents to some socialistic view. And then they say, well, $13,500 per student isn't enough. Levon, how much did you get to homeschool three kids that went on to university and got honors at the university. She would have been happy with $13,500 per student. She didn't get paid to do it. She did it out of love. We throw money at problems. Why? Because we're so lazy as a nation. The average child receives over $400 in back-to-school clothes and zero time dressing their minds with truth and righteousness to protect it from liberal lies. And that's why our educational system has run amok. It's because the teachers' unions control what is being taught, and they have no true absolute. And so the teachers push the agenda of the liberal unions, and this has created chaos in American society. Children today are graduating from the public schools who cannot even read. This nation spends more per student than any other nation in the world, and yet we are last in values, last in value of education per dollar spent, even behind the lowest third world countries. And if you get a good teacher who tries to teach the children to learn, they'd be ostracized by the other faculty members, and the union will not support them because they're not following the union's manifesto. In fact, the National Federation of Teachers manifesto for 1995 and 96, in which the gay agenda began being pushed forward as an acceptable lifestyle in the schools. The California Teachers Union put out a calendar of events for this year, and it listed among the events Coming Out Week and National AIDS Awareness Week and some Hindu holiday, but it skipped Thanksgiving and Christmas. This shows who's in charge of the school. Satan himself has become incarnate in the people and has taken over the minds of the people, just as God's presence has become incarnate in his prophet in this hour and has taken over the minds of his people. That's Psalms 111. Verse 10, Proverbs 1 and 7 and 9 and 10. Now we know this is the effects of a godless society. But did you know that the Catholic Church, through the Society of Jesus, the Order of the Jesuits, has been planning the takeover of the minds of this nation for well over 100 years? And isn't it true that every place that the Jesuits have done this, the countries have reverted to communism? Isn't that true? I have seven books in my possession that deal specifically with this subject, and only one of them has been written in the past few years, and that by a devout Catholic, Malachi Martin. The other books are very old, and in fact, three of them were written around the turn of the century. Did you know Pope Pius IX said in his encyclical 45 that the Roman Church has a right to interfere in the discipline of the public schools and in the arrangement of studies of the public schools and in the choice of teachers for these schools? In Encyclical 47, he said, education outside control of Roman Catholic Church is a dangerous heresy. Public schools open to all children for the education of the young should be under the control of Roman Catholic Church and should not be subject to the civic power, nor made to conform with the opinions of the age. I'd like to share a quote from a Catholic priest in the Boston Advertiser. He said, Catholics would not be satisfied with the public schools even if the Protestant Bible and every vestige of religious teaching were banished from them. But the Catholic Church has been trying to get government funding for their own schools since the mid-1800s, and they will stop at nothing to get our tax dollars into their coffers. Here's a sample of how they used the media back then to push what tax funding of the Catholic schools. From the New World, it's called the official paper of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Note it's called the New World. All they got to do is put an order after that. February 6th of 1904. Every school that does the work of education in a way to satisfy the requirements of the state and all the secular branches of instruction is entitled to state support, no matter what religious denomination the school managers may belong. In all justice, then, to religious schools, if they give the same amount of secular instruction as the others, that they are entitled to the same support for the secular instruction they give. Why not? Can any man accept the unreasoning bigot, see why they should not be treated alike? If, in addition to the secular instruction required by the state, the religious schools also teach religion because the parents want it, the state can have no objection because it will not be paying for the religious instruction, only the secular instruction. Let us take our stand on this platform, the same pay for the same work. That seems to offer to the people of the United States the fairest solution of school questions. You see, they want your tax money. Back around 1900, Cardinal McCloskey said, "We must take part in elections, move in solid mass in every state against the party pledge to sustain the integrity of the public schools." Now, President Garfield, in his acceptance letter, July 12th of 1880, he said, "Next in importance to freedom and justice is popular education, without which neither freedom nor justice can be permanently maintained. It would be unjust to our people and dangerous to our institutions to apply any portion of the revenue of the nation or of the state to the support of sectarian schools. The separation of church and state in everything relating to taxation should be absolute." In other words, don't give them our tax money so they can educate and brainwash their little kids. General Grant said in Des Moines in 1876, he said, "Encourage free schools and resolve that not $1 appropriated to them should be applied to the support of sectarian schools." Now, what I'm trying to get across to us this evening is that the Catholic Church has been trying to destroy the public schools in America for well over 100 years, and they have finally prevailed, long before communism came around. The Reverend Jeremiah Crowley, ex-priest from Cincinnati, said in his book, Romanism, A Menace to the Nation, written in 1912, the following. He said, I assert that it is a set purpose of the great majority of Roman Catholic hierarchy in America to destroy, root and branch, the present system of American public schools. I believe the Catholic scheme to destroy the American public schools has these among other phases. One, the bringing of the public school into contempt by characterizing it as godless, vicious, and a sinkhole of depravity, or a sink of corruption. Number two, the securing of the Catholic parochial school the largest possible share of public school tax funds. Number three, the encouraging of other sets, other sects, to start sectarian schools and to demand public monies in payment for the secular education of the church, of the children. Why? Because they know they have a lot more Catholics than there are Baptists or other denominations. You see? But get them all doing it, and they'll get their big share. The securing of the Catholic majority on public school boards and on the teaching staff of the public schools in the hope of being able thereby to lower the tone of instruction and discipline in the public schools and thus bring public schools into disfavor. Oh yeah. Who done it? The church. Catholic Church did this with her liberation theology. Five, securing the employment of nuns and monks in public school teachers. Six, the prevention of normal school training of public school teachers. Yeah, normal school training. When I was educated to be an educator at the University of Minnesota, we had to take courses where you sat and had to talk to, you're forced to talk to homosexuals. And I told them they're nothing but scum. They didn't like it too much. I didn't care what they liked. They were trying to say that David and Jonathan were homosexuals because their love was greater than that for a woman. And I said, "You're so repulsive." I said, "You're nothing but an animal." By these and other means, Catholic ecclesiastes hope to destroy the public school system and to make the parochial school supreme. I've had many conversations with members of the American Catholic hierarchy during the past 18 years about the public and parochial schools in America. The ecclesiastical champions of the latter have stated that the insistent demand of the Catholic hierarchy for a division of the public school money would eventually be granted, and that the American people would grow weary of the school contention and to escape it would adopt the Catholic view. That then every effort would be made to secure the largest grants of public money, that the other sects would, out of envy, demand similar grants for their various schools, and they would be encouraged by the Catholic dignitaries to press their claims. That the consequence would be the disruption of the public school system by the competition and antagonism of such sectarian bodies, and that the ultimate result would be the supremacy of the Catholic Church in securing teaching by virtue of her strong organization and great resources through her various teaching orders. Bill Clinton, Jesuit trained. Oh, yeah. Now, Abraham Lincoln said in 1864, he said, "The common people see and hear the big noisy wheels of the Southern Confederacy cars. They call the Jeff Davis, Lee, Toombs, Beauregard, Semmes, etc. And they honestly think that they are the motive power, the first cause of our troubles. But it is a mistake. The true motive power is secreted behind the thick walls of the Vatican. the colleges and schools of the Jesuits, the convents of the nuns and confessionals, boxes of Rome. There is a fact which is too much ignored by the American people, and with which I am well acquainted only since I became president. It is that the leading families of the South have received their education in great part, if not in the whole, from Jesuits and the nuns. Hence, those degrading principles of slavery, pride, cruelty, which are as second nature among so many of those people, hence that strange want of fair play, humanity, that implacable hatred against ideas of equality and liberty, as we find them in the Gospel of Christ. You do not ignore that the first settlers of Louisiana, Florida, New Mexico, Texas, South Carolina, and Missouri were Roman Catholics, and that their first teachers were Jesuits. It is true that those states have been conquered or bought by us since. But Rome has put the deadly virus of her anti-society and anti-Christian maxims into the veins of the people before they became American citizens. Unfortunately, the Jesuits and the nuns have in great part remained the teachers of those people since. They have continued in a silent but most efficacious way to spread their hatred against our institutions, our laws, our schools, our rights and our liberties in such a way that this terrible conflict became unavoidable between the North and the South. As I told you before, it is popery that we owe this terrible civil war. I would have laughed at the man who would have told me that before I became president. But Professor Morse, who has opened my eyes on that subject, and now I have seen that mystery, I understand that engineering of hell, which, though not seen, nor even suspected by the country, is putting in motion the large, heavy, and noisy wheels of the state cars of the Southern Confederacy. Our people are not yet ready to learn and believe those things, and perhaps it is not the proper time to initiate them to those dark mysteries of hell. It would throw oil on the fire, which is already sufficiently destructive. You're almost the only one with whom I speak freely on that subject. But sooner or later, the nation will know the real origin of these rivers of blood and tears, which are spreading desolation and death everywhere. And then those who have caused those desolations and diseases and disasters will be called to give an account of them. I do not pretend to be a prophet, but I see a very dark cloud on the horizon. And that dark cloud is coming from Rome. It is filled with tears of blood. It will rise and increase till its flanks will be torn by the flashing lightning, followed by a fearful peal of thunder. Then a cyclone, such as the world has never seen, will pass over this country, spreading ruin and desolation from north to south. After it is over, there will be long days of peace and prosperity, for popery, with its Jesuits and merciless inquisitors, will have been forever swept away from our country. Neither I nor you, but our children will see those things. And we did. This nation did. For a very short period of time. But the Catholic Church, like the devil, is very resilient. He gets cast out, he comes back with seven more. Cardinal Martinelli, papal delegate to America in 1902, he said, "We know that there are many immoral priests and bishops, but still the laity have no right to interfere with the clergy. If the laity understands they have any rights, they will do in America as they have done in France during the Revolution. They will murder the clergy. In this independent country, it would be not wise to let the laity understand that they have any right to interfere in church matters. And one of the principal things that we have against you, Father Crowley, is that you are enlightening the Catholic laity of this country as to their rights. The laity have no rights to expose their clergy. No matter how immoral they may be, the laity must be ignored. They must be crushed." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we hear those wicked words from Cardinal Martinelli. But you know, we find the same words sometimes are propagated even in this message by Nicolaitan pastors. And so we realize, Lord, that this spirit of the devil is rampant everywhere. And we see how they're trying to crush the conservative talk shows today. They're the liberal media, the liberal papers, the liberal TV. Their agenda is to silence the radio, which seems to be conservative. And so, Lord, we just pray for those men. But we know that this country is doomed because she has turned down God. And so, Father, we just pray that we will be ready during this disastrous time that's coming. that every one of us will be prepared, because we had the warnings from your prophet. And if we don't hearken to the voice, well, then there's nothing but curses for us. So help us, Lord, because the word hearken means to pay attention to. And if the prophet warned us about these things coming on the earth, then we ought to take those warnings and we ought to be prepared. And so, Lord, I just commit our preparations into thy keeping in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I realize these words, many of them were very hard, but this is the hour we're living in. This is not going to go away. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. We have a prophet who said, "Thus saith the Lord." We're going to have a depression that makes the first one look like a Sunday school picnic. He said there's going to be a great squeeze. The squeeze is already coming down. Squeeze is always financial. And the financial squeeze is already taking place. Not only in this country, the entire world. Entire world. And what has happened? Laodicea made the people weak. And because the people are weak, they're just an easy prey for takeover. They're willing to throw away all their rights for security. And what security is it? To be lined up and shot. Or to have to line up to get your food. I wouldn't call that security. I call that laying yourself open for destruction. Well, that's it. May God bless you all. See you Sunday.